Why don't you look at a neighbor and say good morning to them. Look at somebody and says, God's got something good for you today. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's pray then this morning. Father, we thank you as we approach your word. We approach it humbly. We approach it receptively and expectantly. And we thank you that what you've said is true. And thank you today that by the Holy Spirit that we'll see it in ways with which, Lord, it'll bring a great revelation to our heart. It'll produce faith in us so that whatever's missing and lacking is no longer. But the faith that we need is imparted from the Word of God. We lay hold of it and we receive it, and with it, every one of your redemptive benefits, one of which is healing. And we give you the praise and give you the glory for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, the Healing Center is not just for those that may need healing. It is also to teach us a redemptive right of divine health and healing. This is the reason why we do have the Healing Center. Because one of the four legs of the ministry here at the church is we believe every believer should know their redemptive right of divine health and healing. And whether we're just learning more, learning how to learn about the redemptive benefit of healing, or knowing how to receive healing, because there are going to be times in our life that we do need to receive no matter who we are, or had to stand effectively in what God has already given and resist the sickness and disease that's trying to attack us, or learning how to better minister this to others. Because, you know, we really are ambassadors for Christ. We are ministers of reconciliation. And just like there was a peace, reconciliation actually means peace won by a battle. That's what it really literally means. How many know the battle's already been won? Jesus did it. The victory is ours. Our job is to go tell the world, inform them of what Jesus did, so they can simply be right with God and receive what God has wrought for them, and one of which is healing. So today we're going to continue our series. I want to welcome everyone online too. Thank God for everyone that is online this morning. If you can't make it personally, the next best thing is to watch it online. Praise God. And so we're going to continue our series that we've been doing since the beginning of the year, God's Remedy, Redemption. And for those that are taking notes, what I always encourage people to do is today's message is going to be entitled The Missing Link, Faith. Faith is the missing link. I call it the missing link, faith. And so before we do a quick review, I'm just going to ask this question. Did you know that, and you don't have to answer it loud, I'm asking this to get us to begin to think about something very important this morning. Did you know that what God's grace gives was designed to be accessed and possessed through or by our faith? Did you know that? This is how we're to actually receive everything from God, or we just simply will do without. With that being said, this is so important. I think about this often. How many Christians do you really think that know or believe that statement I just made is true? It's very true. You're going to find out today, if you don't already know, that what I just said, that what God's grace gives was designed to be received by our faith. And if our faith doesn't receive it, we do without. I can just tell you, there's so many people, wonderful people, brothers and sisters in Christ, that simply don't know this. It's not that they don't just believe it. They just, you can't believe what you don't know. And so they really think and been taught to believe that really most things like this, even salvation, but in particular healing, is all left up to God. They really believe or think or have been taught to believe that if somehow if they're just the lucky ones, that they will get healing. How many know, in other words, if they're lucky enough that God just chooses them, and they believe that it's all left up to God. It's kind of like the lotto system a spiritual lotto system. Somehow, if God just chooses them, or a lot of people have this performance mentality, if they've earned it, if they could, but you can't earn salvation, you can't earn healing, you can't earn anything from God. It's received by faith because His grace has first given it. And so unless His grace has given something, our faith cannot even receive it, because faith begins where the will of God is known. If you don't know that God has given something, you can hope that you're going to get it, but hope don't cut it. You have to know what God's grace has given so that your faith can receive it. And you know what? What I just described about what many believers don't know and how they live, this is no way for believers to live. And this is one reason why the Healing Center is so important. So what I want to do is first do, before we actually talk about the missing link faith, we want to do a quick review for, especially, it doesn't hurt any of us, but it helps especially those online or in person today that this is the first time, or maybe it's been several weeks before since they've come and heard something, this message. I've been teaching from Isaiah 53, in particular verse 4 and 5, and unpacking that, those two verses, which evidence the truth that, in other words, these two verses evidence the truth that healing, like salvation and forgiveness of sins, is clearly part of God's great plan of redemption. So important. And the case in point that I'm making and emphasizing, I mean, I've made this all in every message, and I continue to do, and I will until I finish this series. I'm emphasizing that healing for our body and our mind, like forgiveness and salvation for our spirits, was paid for, was purchased by God at the same time, and was forever determined at the cross, and all part of redemption. And because it's part of redemption, it is sure, it is settled, it is established, it is unchanging and eternal. And Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 proves this. We're going to turn there, and we're going to read this from the Amplified Translation today. It says, "For He," talking about Jesus, "went once for all into the Holy of Holies of heaven, not by virtue of the blood of goats and calves, by which to make reconciliation between God and man." Well, why does it reference the blood of goats and calves? Because under the old covenant, on the Day of Atonement, the blood of goats and calves were presented before God in the Holy of Holies. Now, it was presented throughout the year before God, but in the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement to make atonement for the sins of the nation, and if for the whole nation. And so all of this was a type and shadow of what would come with the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why He had to go after He was crucified, resurrected. He had to go into the Holy of Holies to present His blood as a eternal and everlasting and sure payment for mankind's sin. We should be excited about that because we're included in that. And it says, by which to make reconciliation between God and man. In other words, to make peace between God and man. But His own blood. He didn't take the blood of bulls and goats or the goats and calves. He took His own blood. Now look, having found and secured a complete redemption, an everlasting release for us. So as far as God's concerned, the price was paid there. And it was determined at the cross, and what Jesus presented in the heavenly Holy of Holies, it eternally secured our redemption and our everlasting release from Satan's bondage. And we find what this includes in Hebrews chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. Now let's turn there again in Isaiah 53 and verse 4 and 5. This is known as the great redemptive chapter of the Bible. And we could read this whole chapter, but we're focusing on these two verses because they bring out the points that we are emphasizing. It says, surely. Everybody say, surely. We already looked at this word, surely means certainly or truly. So this means this is the way that it is. It will never change. As far as God's concerned, it's done. God appreciates if we just agree with Him. Look at your neighbor and say, surely, praise the Lord. Surely He hath borne, that means to lift up or take off or take away our griefs. We found this Hebrew word would better be translated sickness or disease, and carried our sorrows, that means our physical pains. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. And notice this, and with His stripes we are healed. So what redemption teaches us is that just like the blood of Jesus paid the price for our sin and our salvation, the stripes of Jesus paid the price for our healing. At the same time, it's settled, it's unchanging, and in the same way that we should be confident that the blood was shed to forgive us of our sins so that we could not only experience forgiveness but salvation, at the same time, the stripes were laid on Jesus' back to pay the price so that we could receive mental and physical healing as well. Can I get amen? And as in Isaiah 53, healing's evidence is found throughout the entire Word of God and should leave us no doubt of it being the will of God for our lives. So what we've been actually doing is, if you've been in this series, I've used these three words repeatedly: evidence, proof, and receipts. You know what a receipt is, don't you? You go to I say this every time, you go to Walmart and you walk out. If you got a basket full of groceries, a lot of times they'll just ask, let me see the receipt. Okay? And they just look at the thing and they just see some of the big things, the easy wear. They know where to look and, oh, that's on that. They bought that. Amen. So it's proof of purchase. God wants us to know that the proof of purchase for our healing is the Word of God. He wants us to know the evidence, the proof, amen, the receipts are found in one place, and that's the Word of God. And what we've actually been doing is looking at, through the Scripture, at this evidence. Not just Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5, which is evidence, proof, and receipts, but we've been looking at numerous verses. And what I've been actually doing, in case you didn't know, and I've talked about this, you know, like a defense attorney. I'm stating my case, and what I've actually been doing is presenting my case for healing and Jesus the healer, just like Paul did, to the Jews and to the Gentile world. We find it, we're going to read there in Acts 9:22, for salvation in Jesus being the Messiah or the Savior. You know, Paul stood repeatedly. If you read the book of Acts, you'll find that repeatedly he stood in the synagogues talking to the Jews and to the Greeks that were there, presenting his case that Jesus was the Messiah and the only way unto eternal salvation. That was a big deal. And what we find is that the Gentiles received that readily. But the Jews had a real problem with that because they had been mixed up that the keeping of the law was going to determine their salvation. Not Jesus alone. It could be Jesus and the keeping of the law, Jesus and circumcision, Jesus and good works. But it was a breath of fresh air to the Gentile world to know that Jesus only was the only means, at faith in Him alone, and that not by performance, not by works, not by keeping the law, not anything else, that alone would be the means of our salvation. And Paul proved that point repeatedly. That's what he reasoned with, but he proved that Jesus was the Messiah. It was easier for the Gentile world to see it and to receive it, where the Jews get tripped up. They could see he proved it from the Scripture, from the Old Testament Scripture, because that's what they had. Notice, when you read the book of Hebrews, it is repeatedly an argument from the Old Testament. Yep. Scripture, that's the scriptures they have. That is scripture. All scripture, including Old Testament, is inspired by God. Come on, that's what they had. So he repeatedly, this is why when you read the book of Hebrews, which is a brilliant expose of redemption and proving who Jesus Christ is, he used all these the scriptures to prove that he was the Messiah and that salvation came through him alone. Now, it's evident by the scripture, but this is what Paul argued and reasoned with them. And once again, it was easier for the Gentiles to receive because they just simply took God at his face value, as the word. But the Jews got tripped up because they had been believing that the Messiah was going to come, but they're going to have to still keep the law. So Jesus couldn't be it because they were looking, like many people are looking for today, a political and a military Messiah. And whenever you do, you miss the real Messiah. Now, I'm not saying that military power isn't important and having right leadership isn't important. That's not what I'm saying. It's important, but that alone isn't our answer. Jesus is. We need the other, but we have to put Jesus first. That's who we put our trust and faith in. Amen. Now, I told you to turn to Acts chapter 9, verse 22, because just like Paul proved that Jesus Christ was the Messiah and the only means of salvation, I'm proving the case that this same Jesus is not only the Messiah, but this same Jesus is the healer. And he's the means of our healing, and it's provided at the same time of salvation. That is what I'm proving. So look at this. It says, but Paul increased all the more in strength and continued to confound and put to confusion the Jews who lived in Damascus. See, God doesn't want people to be confused. He wants the confusion to go. But when people choose to believe something other than the Word of God, they remain confused. This is why this says what it says right here. He continued to confound and put to confusion the Jews who lived in Damascus by comparing and examining evidence. Everybody say evidence. And proving that Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. So this is exactly what I've been doing. I have been providing evidence and proving and giving the receipts from the scripture that Jesus is the healer, and healing was provided at Calvary just like salvation and forgiveness of sins was. And we should shout for that. Yes. Hallelujah. And so here's what we must come to know and understand, that healing's evidence, proof, and receipt is the Word of God. Look no further, church. Look no further. It is the Word of God. And if we don't accept is that, we're going to remain confused and confounded. But God doesn't want that. By believing what his word says, removes that. So remember, God's word is God talking to us. And God's word is a revelation of his will. What it is his will for all of us, not just a few, but all of us. So healing's evidence is found in one sure place. And where is that? You tell me. The scripture, the word of God. And let me tell you where it's not found at. Get it straight, never forget it, and write it down right now. Healing's evidence is found in one sure place, the word of God, and not in our or someone else's personal experience. It is not found in mine or your a personal experience if our personal experience contradicts the Word of God. Here's a big mistake that people make. Many believers base their belief, even about redemption, in experience instead of the Word of God. They base it upon their experience, what they've experienced, or what they've seen experience in someone else instead of the Word of God. And when you do, you're going to be tripped up. Remember, you don't know God's will by experience alone, whether it's mine or someone else's. But you can know what the will of God is by knowing the Word of God. Am I right? Of course, because God's Word is God's will. This means someone's experience of not receiving healing is not evidence that it wasn't God's will to heal them. Hello. Praise God. We always make a mistake when we try to interpret God's will only by our or someone else's experience instead of the Word of God. It's deadly. It costs people. It robs them of their faith in God and ultimately the blessings that God's provided for them. Whenever we look beyond the Word of God for evidence, we've already made a mistake. The moment we say, but this person or what's happened to this person becomes what we believe as evidence for the case of healing or against healing, we dismissed it. Because you cannot determine it based upon my experience or someone else's experience if it doesn't line up with the Word of God. You base it upon the Word of God. We must come to know and understand we cannot determine the will of God by experience alone. It must be determined by the Word of God. If my experience lines up with the Word of God, then praise God. Then you can count on it. But if it's something other than the Word of God, then you just got to throw that out. Let me give you another example on another topic. What if a person said, you know, I know this is healing, but sometimes just giving another example kind of brings the point home. What if a person seeking the Holy Spirit finally received after 3 years, and they fasted and prayed 3 nights, they had a vision from God, and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And now they told everyone that you must seek God for 3 years and pray and fast until God appears to you and you fill with the Holy Spirit. And they base that upon their experience. Now their experience ended up, in this case, them receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But it would be inaccurate for them to tell other people that's the mean of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that Jesus gave the baptism of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for whoever, once you're saved, it's ready for you to receive then. It's no more, you don't have to, you could, but you don't have to pray, or tarry, wait. It's been given. You can receive it. And so it would be wrong. It's right that people can still receive it. It's wrong to box it in and tell people this is what you're going to have to do to receive it. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is why you cannot base the will of God upon your experience alone. You must interpret your experience from the Word of God. If your experience doesn't line up with the Word of God, throw away your experience. In other words, the part about telling someone this is how it must be done. No, we know what must be done by the will of God, the Word of God, not by experience alone. So the point that I'm making, this is what happens to a lot of people. People say, I've heard people to say it. I've heard people to say it. I'll give you two examples. I remember my boss years ago, who's in heaven now. Years ago, walking while I was cutting meat, he walked in and he said, you know what? They're going to be, I think it was a Friday. And he says, you know, tomorrow at church, they have a funeral for so-and-so. They used to shop in the store. That's why he was bringing it up. And he looked at me and he said, you know, if that person ain't in heaven, I don't have a chance. And the first thought that comes to my mind is, why are you basing whether you're in heaven based upon whether that person was good or not? Because that's not how we determine whether we make heaven or not. Not by how good. In other words, he was saying, if as good as that person was, if that person didn't make it in heaven, I don't have a chance to make it in heaven. Well, the good news for all of us is that we don't get to heaven by our good works anyway. We get to heaven by our faith in Jesus Christ, apart from any good works. Good works are right, but good works can't get you into heaven. Okay? And the same thing with healing. We gotta understand, a lot of people will say things like this. Well, you know, that person didn't get healed, so that just means that healing can't be the will of God, because they said they believed. They said they were in faith. They said they trusted God. They said they went on and on and on. Now listen, you can trust God, you can believe God, but your definition of trusting and believing may be different than God's. That's right. God's definition of believing is receiving. Yep. That's God's definition of it. Yes. And I'm not trying to be, I see, I'm not trying to be mean or hard. I have to have this straight in my own heart, because I got to receive the same way that you do. And if I'm passing this or say something other than the Word of God, then I'm just as confused as you're going to be. But I'm not confused. I know what it is, and I know if I'm not receiving, like Brother Hagin would always say, I know this. If I'm not receiving, it's not on God's end, it's on my end. And I look to my end. I look on the receiving end. We are too quick to look on the sending end. God, what? No, we have to look on the receiving end. It's not a problem on the, it's just like this. You leave, and some of you listen to the radio. And I'm not saying I never listen to the radio, but just think, let's go back 40 years. Okay, there wasn't digital tuners and all this. So on the radio, you turned it. You remember that day? Some of you do. You turned the dial, and then, as you turned the dial, it turned in, you got closer to the, now we understand 102.5. We don't understand 102.5. We were on 7, and it was still all that static. And when we finally got to that sweet spot, you hear it clear. It wasn't that it was a sending problem at all. It was broadcasting perfectly. It was just the receiving end had to be tuned in. Healing Center helps us to tune in on the and receive what the sending end has already says is ours, so we can get it clearly. Amen? Praise God. So, with that being said, I hope those illustrations helped. But we must realize someone not receiving healing is no more evidence or proof that it wasn't God's will to heal them than saying because someone died and went to hell without Jesus was evidence that it wasn't God's will to save them. You know, we fight and argue with somebody. Now, I don't mean regular fist fight, but we would defend God to the utmost if somebody thought that. No, because if someone dies and goes to hell, it's not proof that it wasn't God's will for them to be saved. How do we know that? Because God's Word gives us clear evidence, proof, and receipts of this truth. So let's look at this. This is the truth that we'd fight for. If someone died and said, they said, well, they went, they died, and it must have not been God's. They died. I know they went. They died, and they were cursing God, going to hell. They said they wanted to go to hell. It must have been God's will not to save them. We fight for that. We fight against that. We say that's crazy. That's crazy. It was God's will for that person to be saved. Well, and the person argued with say, well, it must not been because it was God's will to save them. They've just been saved. That's not how it works. This is why we have the Bible. And what would you show them to prove that they were wrong? Not about who's right or who's wrong here, but you want them not to be in that error. The proof that you and I have is the Word of God. We quickly turn to scriptures like this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that tells us, 2 Peter 3, 9 tells us this, that God is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any one should perish. Any. Everybody say any. Not anyone should perish or go to hell. That's what that means. But that all men should come to repentance. So we see the proof that it wasn't God's will for that. See, people assume because they experience something that must have been, it was the will of God for them. That's not true. The Word of God tells us what we should, it reveals what the will of God is for us to experience. And He said here that it wasn't that we perish, but we come to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says it like this, who will all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, while all men be saved. Well, let me ask you this, not a trick question. Are all men saved? No. Why? Is it because God didn't want them to be saved? Was it because it was God's will, not God's will for them all to be saved? Not according to the scripture, it wasn't. It was because they failed to receive what God's salvation or redemption and salvation has provided for them. That's why. Now, whether that's because they didn't know or they believe, most of the time, listen, the scripture lets us know this, that God has revealed, Romans 1, read it, and throughout the scripture, Psalms 19, 1 through like 8, and the first chapter of Romans. It lets us know that God has revealed himself to every person. He has made himself known even through nature to every person that he's God. But instead of receiving that knowledge as God and causing man to seek after God, man has, he said, has rejected that truth and turned it into something else. So here's what we must understand when it says, who all are men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. People go to hell not because it wasn't God's will to save them, but because they rejected the only means of salvation, and that's Jesus Christ. Remember, we have a choice. We have a will, and God won't violate that. This is one of the blessings and the cursings of life. In other words, free will means that you're not a robot. God won't make you choose. You have a choice. You have a free will. God, you know, in order for, you know, love to be love, you have to choose to love. God won't make us love him. But, and he won't make us come to him. That's not love. Love gives us the free will and the choice to come to God. So in this same way that I've talked about salvation, in this same way, someone not experiencing healing is not evidence that healing isn't God's will for them, but rather the Word of God is proof that it was. And this is why we've given all the scriptures, not just Isaiah 53 verse 4 and 5, but all the scriptures that we've looked at and we've gone through. Amen. This means that healing, like forgiveness and salvation, are redemptive benefits, both of which are waiting for us to know about and receive. And that's, and so what's the missing link then? Faith. That's the missing link. It's not that God hasn't given, it's that we have to know about and receive. So the missing link many times is faith. It isn't that God hasn't given or provided the amazing redemptive benefit of healing or any of the redemptive benefits, but man hasn't learned they must, all of those, whatever God's given, must be received by their faith or they'll do without. God said that, not pastor. I'm repeating God. This is God's way. And I know people don't like it. They say, well, that's not fair. It's very fair. It's fair for us all. It's just because we don't like it that way, then I'm sorry. But it's better to know God's way than come up with our own way and then one day find out that that was wrong. That's how I lived the first 24 years of my life. I had my own version of God. And you know, unfortunately, many people have their own version of God. They make their version, which is no version at all, they make their version of God suit their beliefs and their lifestyle. And that's dangerous. That's dangerous. For me, it would have caused me to go to hell because I believe that by my own good works. But nowhere in the scriptures does it tell us that good works are going to get us in heaven. Good works are right, but not to get into heaven. Good works are the fruit of your salvation, not the root of your salvation. Good works are things we do because we are saved, not to get saved. Amen. And so this is very important for us to understand. The missing link is faith. It is faith. It's not that God hasn't given or provided these amazing redemptive benefits, or it's not that he just picks and chooses who will get them. But man hasn't learned they must be received by their faith. So redemptive benefits, like God's will, aren't automatic. They must be received by our faith. Until we establish the truth that healing's evidence is the Word of God, we'll live confused and deceived about healing, and the truth is, we'll live without it. Because faith only begins where the will of God is absolutely known. And this is why we give evidence. If God can't persuade you by reading his word that that's him talking to you, and this is what he's him talking to you and this is what you to believe, he can't persuade you at all. Let me give you an example of that. Remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? You remember what the rich man said to Lazarus? I mean, what rich man said to Father Abraham? He says, send laborers, basically, I'm paraphrasing, send laborers to my brothers, because I've got brothers that believe just like I, and warn them about coming to this place. And what did Abraham say? No, if they don't believe Moses and the law, if they don't believe what is written, neither will they believe if someone rose from the dead and told them. So this tells me this, the number one way that God expects us to believe is by just taking his word at face value. Because the truth is, this is why Jesus told Thomas, when, you know, Thomas said, unless I see, I won't believe. And when he appeared to Jesus, he says, my Lord and my God. When Jesus appeared to Thomas, he said, my Lord and my God. He said, Thomas, because you've seen me, you've believed. Blessed are they who have not seen me yet believe. You know who is blessed? You and I who have never seen Jesus but have taken Jesus at his word, and that's how he expects us to do everything. Now, if he decides to manifest himself to us and show himself, he can do that. But he doesn't expect that to be the reason for you to believe. He expects the reason you believe is what his word says. Because that's how 99.9% of all, well, actually, that's how 100% of every person he expects we to take his word at face value. This is why we should know it. This is why if it's alive and living like the word says, that we, when we meditate on it, it speaks to us. It produces life, health, and healing to all our flesh. The missing link, once we know what the will of God is, and we know that from the Word of God, or in other words, what God's grace has given, then once we know what God's grace has given, what the will of God is, it's still up for us to receive it by our faith. The faith that was produced because we believe what God's Word said. Let me give you two examples of this. Acts chapter 20, verse 32, Paul said it like this. He said, Acts 20, verse 32. He says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Everybody say the word of his grace. The word of his grace, in other words, grace reveals what God has given. Where do we know what God has given? From his word, his will. That's why it's called the word of his grace. The word of his grace reveals what he's given, what he's provided for us, which is able to do what? What is the word of his grace able to do? Build you up and give you an inheritance. How many know part of your inheritance is healing? And give you an inheritance among the, with them which are sanctified. In other words, those that have all been set apart from God, healing belongs to every one of us. I showed you last week in closing where Jesus said, ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan is bound, be loosed from her bonds on this Sabbath day? And then I showed you how in Galatians chapter 3 that we have that same blessing that this daughter of Abraham, that because we're heirs of that same promise through Jesus Christ. Healing belongs to us. Just another healing evidence. But this is so important that we see this. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2 goes on and says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as to them. Who is unto them? Those that died in the wilderness. This is what he's talking about. There was a whole generation because of unbelief died in the wilderness. They rejected the promise of God, said, you can go into the promised land, possess the land. I've given it to you. Go in and possess it. But remember, they believed the 10 spy network instead of the two that came by. The 10 spy network, in other words, came back with an evil report of unbelief. Always remember this, church. Doubt and unbelief needs to be hated because it's evil. It's the design to destroy our life. It's not like a cat we'd pick up and pet. Well, a little bit of doubt and unbelief, we all have it. It won't hurt us. It'll kill us. Get it out. Get it out. Hate it. You got to hate the things that destroy you. This is why we should hate sin. I didn't say hate the sinner. I said hate sin. Hate evil. The Bible tells us to hate evil, to hate sin. These things, hate doubt and unbelief. We have to rise up. We have to have a righteous anger and say, I hate that. We should hate heat. We should hate sickness and disease. We should hate the devil and his works. For unto us the gospel was preached as well as to them, but the word preached did not profit them. Here's why it didn't profit them. It not being mixed with what? With faith in them that heard it. It wasn't mixed with faith. God expects that when you hear His word, that you mix faith with that. Because faith comes. In other words, you receive that and you say, oh, I believe that. I'll take that as mine. See, but we're looking too many times for feelings, emotions. You better forget your feelings and your emotions. We have them. But they follow faith. They're not to be ahead of faith. They don't determine faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. I'm not saying all feelings. Feelings and emotions are not wrong until they contradict the Word of God. Like, say, for instance, you get this. Somebody did you wrong. And so now you're bitter and you're envious about them and mad about them until you read the Word of God that says you have to forgive. You have to forgive them. And then you have the choice to allow whether your feelings and your hurt emotions are going to dictate you or you're going to follow the Word of God. I can tell you what's speaking to you real loud about them is they did you wrong. The feelings. But until you know, those feelings are natural. And they're neutral until they contradict the Word of God. You know, it's not wrong to have the feeling that when you got close to the burner on the stove, that it was hot and you decided not to touch it. That was a great choice. That feelings show you that that's something that you avoid right then. But when your feelings contradict the Word of God, then that's when you're going to have to side into the Word of God, because you're not going to want to forgive that person. But when you understand that without forgiving that person that or still harboring unforgiveness in your heart and not letting that go, then you're hurting yourself, not that person. And when we understand that our faith will not work when we're in unforgiveness, because we rejoice in Mark 11:23, where it says we can have the God kind of faith. Verse 22 tells us have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. Verse 23 tells us how to do it. Amen. Verse 24 tells us how to receive our prayers through faith. But then in verse 25, it tells us, but when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, or unless your Father won't forgive you who's in heaven. In other words, he's telling us the number one thing that hinders our faith is unforgiveness. Isn't it just like Jesus to tell us exactly what we can have? And he says, oh, let me just tell you, the one thing that's going to keep this from working, your faith from working, is unforgiveness. Isn't it just like, because God didn't tell us that to pull the rug out on our feet. He's telling us that because he wants us to receive what he has for us. I always say it like this. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and think it's going to kill the person you haven't forgiven yet. No, it's going to kill you. So what we must understand, see, okay, it did not profit them not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So once again, it tells us how faith comes. It comes by what you hear. But that doubt and unbelief comes that way as well. This is why when people say about their experience, well, it must not be God's will. You know, God had a higher plan. He needed another angel in heaven. You go to enough funerals, and you don't have to go but one or two. And that's probably what you're going to hear. And they think that's comforting to the loved one. And many times it is until after they start thinking about it. And then ultimately what Satan does is sits on their shoulder and says, God took them. That's what the preacher said. God took them. And you get mad at God. Over and over, people get mad at God for things that God never did. But they've been told that God did it. Because that's how faith comes, by hearing something. But that's how doubt comes as well. And the devil wants you to hear something other than the Word of God. But once we hear the Word of God, God expects us to mix it with what? Faith. Faith. What we must understand is redemption, which includes salvation and forgiveness of sins and healing, has been purchased and paid for. We have the receipts. We've been looking at them every service. And both must be received and possessed by faith, or they'll just be in vain and no effect in our lives. Don't let the scripture warns us that we can make the Word of God, it would be vain if no effect in our lives because we don't receive it. Faith is the spiritual hand, so to speak, that takes or receives what the grace of God has given. Remember, whatever God's given in His grace must be received by faith or we won't get it. On the other hand, you can always receive what the grace of God has given, but you can't receive beyond what the grace of God has given. This is why you just can't, the scripture says, whatsoever things I desire when I pray, believe that I receive them, I shall have them. The scripture says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, shall ask what you will and it be done unto you. So I prayed and asked for, I need to talk to you, Pastor. I'm mad. Well, okay. Well, what are you mad about? Well, I prayed, you said, or Jesus said it. No, they said, you said in John chapter 15, verse 7, that I could ask what I will and it be done unto me. And I said, so, okay, so what's the problem? Well, I asked for such and such person, and I'm not married to them yet. Well, number one, they're somebody else's wife, stupid. I'm so, okay. Or So then number two, let's say it's like this. I prayed for five oil wells and I ain't got it. Okay. Well, notice, let's go back and what the scripture says, what sort of things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. Well, yeah, you desire five oil wells, but give me a scripture and a verse that tells you that you can believe God for five oil wells. Well, I just gave it right here. It says, whatever you will. But I'm sorry, dummy. I shouldn't say that. But if you read before and after, it's saying that you ask God that things that are, that it is your, He expects your will to be asked for what His will is. You cannot ask beyond what the will of God is. You must know it. In other words, what God's grace has given, that is the where faith begins and where faith ends. So you can't believe beyond actual knowledge. You can't believe beyond the actual of knowing what God's grace has given. So you must know what the will of God is in order to get it. So I said that to help you because most of you know that. But I can tell you, you minister to people long enough, you're going to have somebody that's going to come to you with that problem, and you'll remember, just don't call them stupid or dummy. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. So since the grace of God or redemption has been given or provided both salvation and healing, that's what redemption is given. Both salvation and healing. Let's look at the place that our faith plays in receiving either or both. In other words, both salvation or healing. You know, I apologize if that offended you. I don't want that to offend anybody. I said that to be funny, and sometimes people think, well, that's mean or whatever. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to wake us up. Because we want people to know. Amen. And I don't usually use the S word and the whatever. But anyway, sometimes we act that way. Amen. Praise God. Enough said. Ephesians, let's look at this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. I'm going to say it again. Since the grace of God has provided both salvation and healing, let's look at the place that faith plays in receiving either or both. Okay, here we go. For by grace, Ephesians 2:8, I told you to turn there, right? Ephesians 2:8 says, For by grace are you saved through faith. Now notice this, how you saved. Through faith. Of course, God's grace is given it, but you're saved through your faith. If your faith doesn't connect with God's grace, you ain't saved. The point is, you're saved through faith. This is why I call the missing link faith. Because faith has to be active, possessive of what God has given. But since, listen, salvation is forgive and forgiveness is provided at the same time as healing has been, let me say it like this, since healing is provided at the same time in the same way, you receive it the same way as salvation is forgiveness, let's put it up like this. For by grace are you healed through faith. That's not changing what it's saying. You receive it the same way. You receive it the same way. Notice how you were healed. How? Through faith. Through faith. You're healed through faith. Let's look at the New Living Translation, how it says it. God saved you by His grace when you believed. When were you saved? Not until you believed. But notice, since healing and salvation were provided at the same time, you received the same way, it would be equally right to say it like this. God healed you by His grace when you believed. Notice how you were healed? And when you were healed? When you believed. Well, you say, well, Pastor Chris, I believe, but I'm not feeling nothing. Well, until you lay aside the feelings and stick with the believing, you won't have it. Because you have to believe that you have, and then it says you'll feel. But it's not the other way around. Hallelujah. Well, I know we don't like that, but that's the way that the Scripture teaches us. This is very important truth, and this is repeatedly evidenced in the Gospels. And this is the unchanging law of faith. You know, there's laws in the Scripture, just like there's natural laws like gravity. There's natural laws like, which is a spiritual law as well, seed time and harvest, sowing and reaping. That's natural as well as spiritual. But there's spiritual laws as well, and if we don't know how to operate with them, we'll do without. And the unchanging law of faith is to believe or receive with the heart and confess with your mouth. That is faith. Romans 10:9-10, just write this down. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe with your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the mouth, for the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness. With his mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Notice the unchanging law of faith. The law of faith is in two places. It's in our heart and it's in our mouth. That's faith. Unless it's in both and stay there unchanging, it's not faith. So faith is born from what God has said, His Word. And now because of it, you know His Word is the evidence of your healing. The evidence, the proof or the receipt of our healing is the Word of God and not our feeling. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is believing what God has said is true and done. Faith isn't determined by feelings, or it's not faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And faith never follows feelings, but rather feelings follow faith. Where's that in the Scripture? Here's a great example, Romans 15:13. It says this, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. See, what follows believing? Joy and peace. When you really believe, joy and peace is there. When you really believe, joy and peace is on the inside. That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So we don't like it that way. We like to feel it. What my point is that, listen, what we must understand is that faith is not a feeling. and that feelings follow faith, not the other way around. You don't know healing because of what you feel, but because of what God has said. And you believe that. And then that works for us. Hallelujah. Joy and peace and believing. Do I have joy and peace? Then if I don't have joy and peace, then according to the Word, I ain't believing. So what do I have to do? I have to keep looking at the Word of God. I have to keep putting my attention on the Word of God so that that's greater than I see that. I don't, every time I think, instead of thinking about the symptoms, the problem, I'm thinking about the answer. And when the answer becomes greater and bigger than the problem, and when you see that, the answer instead of the problem, then you'll find out that on the inside there's joy and peace because believing has showed up. We all have to work it the same way. Hallelujah. And once we understand this, we're no longer waiting on God to heal us. We understand this, that faith takes or receives what the grace of God has already given. And what we must understand, that the grace of healing is a gift, and gifts must be received. And the good news is, it does not have to be earned. There is no hoops to have to jump through. There is nothing that we can do to earn our healing. Nothing we have to do. We just have to believe. Know what He's provided and believe it and receive it. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. Because you can't earn salvation, you can't earn healing. See, it's not, everything with salvation is not performance driven. The reason why, listen church, the reason why reading the Word and studying and praying is not to get God to love you or to do something for you. It's for you to know what God has given so you can receive. Hallelujah. Because when you really know that God loves you and you just accept that and you know what He's provided and know what He's given, then your faith can receive that. And now to you and I, the Word of God has become the evidence, the proof, and our receipt that healing, like salvation, is all of ours. We just have to receive it. We have to receive it and thank God for it. Your faith makes healing yours, just like it did salvation. And then once you receive, there's a stand of faith. Because just like every day you wake up in the... I hope you're, you know, I know some people aren't, but I hope most of you understand. You get up and you don't ask yourself, do I feel saved today? Do I feel saved? Oh, you look in the mirror and you say, oh, nope, I must not be saved today. Praise the Lord. You don't say that. You don't base your salvation on your feeling. You've settled it based upon your faith in God's Word. You always think about what the Word of God says. You never argue that. But you know what? When it comes to healing, what is the first thing we wake up with? We wake up and feel, is it gone? Is the pain gone? How do I feel? It must mean I'm not healed. Well, how do we change that? By looking unto the perfect law of liberty. By looking to the what the grace of God has provided and given. By looking into the Word of God. By not letting it depart from our sight, keeping in the midst of our heart for their life to those that find them, and medicine to all our flesh. Hallelujah. That's how we have to do it. And the good news is we can, because what God has given freely by His grace is freely received by our faith. And you and I can do that. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. This is a whole other topic. I got to close. Let's use our imagination the way that God designed imagination to work. You know, when we read one of the scriptures that we talk about all the time, often, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, talking about casting down imaginations, the wrong thoughts. You have to destroy the wrong thoughts, the wrong pictures, and bring them captive to the obedience of Christ. We talk about, and if we're not careful, and I don't teach enough on this, really, if we're not careful, we automatically think that all imaginations are wrong. But God is the one that gave us right imagination. In other words, we need to visualize what God's Word said and see us ourselves that way. See ourselves healed. See ourselves saved. See ourselves as His children. See ourselves healed. See ourselves prosperous. Because the you that you see is the you that you'll be. And see, that's exactly what the devil does all the time in reverse. He makes you feel like a dirty dog. He paints a picture of your sin and your failure and the people laughing at you and calling you names. Even the third grade teacher, you ain't over with. You ain't over yet because she puts you in the corner and your nose in the corner. And you went to the office and stood in the hallway. I know I'm dating that. You know, you say I went to public school. Praise God. And, everybody saw you in the principal's office because they made you stand in the hallway. Everybody's laughing as they went, oh, he's got in trouble, you know. And you ain't got over that yet. That's a real thing. You know, those pictures is amazing. Have those pictures come back. And they hold you in bondage until you do something about that. Until you cast them down and destroy them. But you have to replace those things with the Word of God. And remember, you don't win over thoughts with more thoughts. You win over them with the Word of God. Yes, you must think right, but you must also speak right. Amen. I hope this has helped today. I don't think it's hurt. Praise God. God sure does love you. Let's stand to it. Thank you. Let's stand to our feet today. And whatever is going on, you know, there's whether you're online today, whether you're here, whoever you are, remember at the beginning today I talked about there's times that we do need healing. There's times that we come to learn about healing. And there's times that we just to reinforce what we believe. And there's times that we're learning so we can, you know, minister to more people. But either way, today, God wants all those to be covered. But He really wants, if anybody's in their body today, needs healing,